This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Have to listen to me, even you.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I guess we're starting. So we'll kind of go down the line and introduce ourselves. So I'll introduce myself. Oh my gosh, I'm terrible. I should totally be like promoting myself. Woo! I'm Janine K. Spendlove, the author of the War of the Seasons trilogy. Yay! You can buy it anywhere. And in my so that's what I do for fun and. Other things that I do for fun, I'm a United States Marine, I'm a C-130 pilot for the Marine Corps, and I also like to get really pissed off when women don't get representation in, and not just women, but all, you know, races, minority groups, everything, you know. Basically, I get pissed when there's a lack of diversity, so, and I talk about it online a lot, and then I have friends that have really big followings who reblog me, and occasionally those things catch on. And we'll let everybody else introduce themselves.
That's a little hard to follow. I'm Amy Ratcliffe. I'm a writerly sort. I write for the StarWars.com blog and Star Wars Inside magazine, and also get angry when ladies are not included in things.
I really just lucked out with where I'm sitting on this panel because I'm neither a Marine nor writing for StarWars.com. I am Bria LaFornia. I am one of the first of the staff writers for Toshi Station on this panel. And I also get angry when women and minorities are not included. You may have been at the panel last year where I also got angry. So,
the theme to this panel.
I'm Catherine Hines. I'm a writer. My first novel is coming out this fall. It's called The Healer's Choice. And part of the genesis of this novel, I had the main character in my head for literally decades, since the very first time in the theater that I saw the first Star Wars movie in the 1970s, and I so badly wanted there to be female Jedi, and I would imagine that I was Obi-Wan. And so that's how the protagonist of my novel had her start. And I, too, get really angry.
Are you sensing
Because there's
a theme,
so I need to say it, too.
I'm Nancy Schwartz. I also write for the Toshi Station blog and also co-host the podcast. And I also get angry when women are not in Star Wars because they called me the Star Wars girl when I was in high school. So
I'm Brian Larson, the other editor at the Toshi Station blog and the other half of Toshi Station Radio. I'm neither single nor a lady, but I too get smashy when diversity isn't up to par.
All right. So I'm sitting here quickly jotting notes because I'm trying to come up with a plan because I totally knew I was going to mod this panel. Apparently we were supposed to talk to each other ahead of time.
We took some notes.
Did we? There were some emails that went through.
Yeah, there were some emails.
Okay. Well, you know who wrote the big email was actually, I think, was it Nancy? So maybe Nancy should moderate this.
Yeah, Nancy, that's a
good idea. Oh, Nancy, you're the moderator now.
Okay. We'll do like some group moderating.
Okay.
Let me come over the,
notes.
I'll go over the rules really quick, and I do set out rules whenever I mod a panel. Basically, the rules are, this is interactive, so we're not just going to be sitting here talking at you. We want to hear from everybody. So if you've got something you'd like to say, you know, raise your hand and we'll call on you. If for some reason we don't call on you, it's not because we don't like you or don't want to hear from you, but maybe you've spoken one or two times and we want to afford other people an opportunity to talk. Also, my job as the moderator is to keep us on task. And there are other things that we want to talk about and other really, really great subjects. But this is specifically talking about sexism and gender diversity in Star Wars. So we'll hit a little bit on racial diversity and things like that, but we don't want it to be, basically what I don't want to do is start talking about how whoever puppeted Yoda in the most recent, you know, in episode one did blah, blah, blah. You know, just we're going to stick on task here. And we are talking specifically about Star Wars 2. So while we can touch on other fandoms, I'm going to keep bringing us back. So if I sometimes do that, don't take it personally, okay? Now, for the panelists, if I throw a question out or whatever, and your answer is the same as someone else's, please don't spend 5 minutes restating what they've said. We don't need that. Just say, I agree. If you've got something to add, add it. Otherwise, let's move on.
Should I salute, Janine?
What?
I feel like I need to salute.
No. Thank you so much. This is super helpful. And I have a list of good questions.
Yeah, I found the email.
So yeah, I've got it here too. Yeah, all right. So I will just go down this line and have it help us go through this panel. And I think it's going to be a really fun panel. So before we start, one of the things I like to do on panels is get a little bit of find out who we're talking to, who we're here with. So who here knew that this was going to be basically a panel on sexism in Star Wars? Okay, so you're all here for that. Did anybody here not realize that when you saw all the single ladies? Okay. Is this, Lucy, were you looking for a date, sweetie? Is that why you came? All right. So you know why you're here. My next question is, how many of you here do believe that there is a representation and a diversity issue in not just Star Wars, but fandom at large? Okay. How many of you, and it's okay, we're not going to stare at you or hate you or whatever. How many of you don't think there's a problem? It's okay to say yes. You know, we'll beat you up later. Okay, oh, no.
Man, we're preaching to the choir today.
All right. So to kick it off, I'm going to tell this fun little Tumblr story. When Star Wars, and let's just get the elephant out of the room, when Star Wars made their casting announcement for the main cast for Episode 7, I know for myself, my initial reaction was, yay! And then I looked down the list, and I was like, wow. And I posted on Tumblr, you know, way to go, Star Wars, because we need another movie filled with a bunch of white dudes, a token black guy, and a token woman. And a couple people reblogged it, whatever, but one special individual in particular reblogged it, and he said, you need to be patient, you need to calm down, all the standard lovely things that men like to tell women, or women like to sometimes tell women about things like this. You know, don't be angry. Why are you angry? They're going to make more cast announcements, blah, 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 all this stuff. Then later, when they did make the new cast announcements with Lupita and Gwendolyn, I don't even remember who this guy is, but he apparently went back, somehow found that post of mine, reblogged it again in all bold letters so he could say, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. That's, and then, you know, my wonderful friend Betsy there had some very choice words to say to him, mostly about your tasty, tasty man pain is wonderful, all that stuff. So that we're gonna kick this panel off with, and the reason why I bring that up, because I have it on a fairly good authority, and I'm not going to reveal my sources, but I have it on fairly good authority that Gwendolyn Christie's character was originally a man. And after the big, giant internet brouhaha and all the news outlets and everything, that Disney kind of went, we gotta look at this. And they gender flipped her. So, yeah, it works. So let's go to our first question. And I hope your phone isn't locked. And it is locked. So you've got the questions?
I got it.
Okay. Let's go with the first one.
So down the line, I guess, our favorite female characters from the Star Wars universe. And
if you guys have one we don't mention.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, we'll just go down the line starting from me.
Take mine.
What?
Don't take mine.
Okay, I won't take yours.
Can we say multiples?
No. Sure. Yeah. No? I don't know.
I'm going to say two.
Okay, one. Iyela Wasiri from the X-Wing novels, because there's something really cool about a female undercover agent behind enemy lines. So, what's not to like?
Mine is Mara Jade, because when I read Heir to the Empire, I hated her, and then by the end of Last Command, I absolutely loved her, and I wanted more women like her in Star Wars.
I have to go old school and just say Princess Leia, because, again, being a teenager in the 1970s and seeing that movie, we had never seen a assertive woman like that on screen in that kind of role. It was really a revelation to a lot of girls back in the 70s, and I've never forgotten it.
I'm going to have two because I can. First would be Winter Selshoe from the Expanding Universe books, because I loved that Winter had a best friend. They grew up together. Oh, and this best friend can also kick a lot of butt as an intelligence agent. And then my second would be Darth Revan, because I reject your canon and substitute my own.
It's hard. I'm going to go with Saz Ventress, because I really liked seeing them write a woman who, you know, she was a villain, kind of, sort of, and maybe on the path to redemption, but I liked seeing a character that had that in her.
Sorry. So for me, it would have to, I love Princess Leia, and I love all of these, actually, I love all these ladies that have been mentioned, but it is, no holds barred, Jaina Solo. And so many reasons. I mean, she's a Jedi. She's the sword of the Jedi. She's a pilot. have I mentioned I'm a pilot? So, I mean, I just looked at her and I basically, it's the classic, I see myself. Look, there's someone represented who, you know, is someone that I can be like, and someone who looks like me. And I know that there's someone in this room who, at least for one of the Star Wars authors, was what he decided Jaina Solo actually looked like and how she moved. And I'm not going to call her out, but she is in here. So, Jaina Solo. All right, and I found the questions, so we're going to go to the next one. Wait, does anybody out there have one we didn't mention? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, from the Force Unleashed games.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yes.
I used to actually, in high school, I would occasionally talk like her, quote her, and all of my friends would be like, what are you doing? I'd be like, that is a fact. Okay, I don't know who that
is.
No,
it's KOTOR. I like you.
Okay.
Kat Tabor voiced her in the...
Oh.
It's a wrap-up game.
Any other characters not mentioned? Yes, ma'am. Oh, I have so many feelings about her. Not all of them. Many of them are not good.
My favorite until the new Jedi Order, and then everything after that.
We can strike from the record.
Stardust.
Okay.
Admiral Dalla, I can still love.
I would say maybe? Izard before I said her.
Izard is
in the corner. Oh, yeah. Yes. We've got a Marcia Fell here. Delia Blue is fantastic, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Darth Talon. Yeah. Well, yes.
Some legacy love.
All right. So... we've gone over who our favorite female characters are. So we'll start how female characters have been portrayed in the film. So that's kind of a really loaded question. So we'll talk about how the female characters have been portrayed in the film. We'll do a little poll. How many of you feel like the female characters have been portrayed well in the film? Raise your hand. It's a trick question because I said characters plural. See? I'm clever, huh?
I'm sick.
I'm going to just go ahead and kick this one to the panelists because I could probably go on for about 10 minutes and I don't need to do that. So talk about any feelings you have and about that.
You know, I think for the time, Leia was a pretty progressive portrayal of a female character in nominally an action-oriented film franchise. The problem is we haven't really progressed from that point. So we haven't gotten, in the films anyways, we've gotten a little better, but we haven't gotten exponentially better from where we should be. I mean, let's look at Padme in Revenge of the Sith.
Let's look at Padme.
who dies of a broken heart.
No.
Someone in that writing room needed to tap George on the shoulder and say, George, no. No. Yeah.
That's the problem, is I don't think anybody ever told George no.
I mean, if you're going to have Anakin kill Padme, just commit to that.
Yeah.
I mean, You know, I loved Padme in the first film in the second trilogy, and I thought she had so much promise. And then, yeah, in Revenge of the Sith, tell me the name again. I'm getting all muddle-headed. Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
okay. Return of the Jedi. Sorry. Long day already. And it's like, what? This is not the same character who was in that first film. I can't believe this is coming from the man who gave us Princess Leia. Those were my feelings. And I heard somewhere, you probably all have heard this too, that originally when that movie was storyboarded, she was supposed to survive and go on to lead the beginnings of the rebellion.
Huh. Well, I mean, Leia would have been awesome.
Well, I think also a lot of the problems with Padme, besides her dying of a broken heart, is that all of her storyline was cut.
Yeah.
And I understand why, maybe because of time and stuff like that, but it makes her have nothing to do in the movie except just sit there and be worried about Anakin. And yeah. I
hug
also
him when he kills a bunch of Tusken Raiders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also loved her in Phantom Menace, and I yeah. had her Queen Amidala poster on my wall, and I'm like, oh, she's cool, you know, I yeah. would like to be like her. And
can I expand this into Clone Wars too, or just film?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Because I want to say something. How many of you seen the Lost Missions of the Clone Wars? And this, if you haven't, this isn't a huge spoiler. But there's a point when we actually see, you know, Padme. I brought this up this morning too, but like yell at Anakin. And I'm like, we needed to see that moment a long time ago. Because I don't know. I feel like they write her in a way where she tolerates things and puts up with yeah. that you just can't wrap your head around.
Yeah, I don't think she really would have put up with all his angst, and you know, I don't think she would have had the patience for that.
I mean, you see the political maverick in Padme, and then it's just so incongruous with what she does at the end of Revenge of the Sith, which mm-hmm. is just roll over when
give up.
Yeah, and yeah. just give up.
I mentally retconned that. So I actually completely forgot for a while that she actually died of a broken heart, and I'm convinced the medical droid was just faulty and that she must have had something wrong with her, because even when I first saw the film when I was 15, I was like, no, there's no way.
Right,
no yeah. problem. I was like, there's no way that she could possibly be.
Not that you think that, you were 15 when you saw it.
I know. I got it. Yeah.
So for me, I think one of the what we're kind of all tap dancing around right here is we love Princess Leia, and one of the great things about her in the original trilogy is she is her own character. I mean, she is the leader of this rebellion. Yes, she falls in love, but honestly, and it's a great part of the story, but it's not required there for her character to be full and to have been a fully fleshed out character. Padme is great in the first film. She's not in the follow-on because her entire role in the next two films. I mean, yeah, you can say she had a little bit of political stuff, but not really. She really didn't do anything. It didn't develop that plot line. Her entire purpose of existence is to be the woman in the refrigerator. It's absolutely to be the woman who dies or her betrayal to Anakin. She's what motivates Anakin. And I'm just quite frankly sick and tired of seeing of women, their entire existence in films, Godzilla was a brilliant example of that. They're just there for their storyline tropes for the guys and their plot points, and I'm tired of it. And that's what she became in the second two films.
Yeah, her purpose, she had to give birth to Luke and Leia, obviously, but they could have made her be awesome in her own right and stay that way. I'm reminded of Mike Stackhole was talking about creating the characters for the X-Wing series, and he said they wanted a love interest for Corran Horn, so instead of just making a stock character, they were like, we're going to make this fully fleshed out character and then have...
How radical.
Yeah.
Capable ladies. Yeah.
Wait, you mean women are people too and should have fleshed out backgrounds as such?
Well, you know, what I just realized is you said, of course, Padme had to give birth to Luke and Leia. It's that thing that we still have embedded in our culture that once you get pregnant, once you become a mom, you cease to have your own life. That was totally what played out in the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I will say, I mean, I wasn't a mom at the time that she died, but I was furious because I just went, how could you, I mean, how? I love my husband deeply, but I would be like, if he turned out to be this horrible Sith Lord, I would not be like, oh, well, my life is over. I'd be like, I have two kids now.
Yeah, she would have
gotta figure something
she
out.
She would have lived for the kids.
It basically completely retconned her entire character just by having her do that. And yes, sir. Did you just say Mothra was leading the rebellion? That's awesome.
That's
I would watch that
story.
Movie.
We did touch on that. Nancy brought that up. Is like it survives in the novelization, and I would probably
and the
give
stuff
my
they cut out.
Yeah, I would give my left arm to have a remastered cut of Revenge of the Sith to have, you know, those political scenes put back in. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, I think they did her a huge disservice by not putting them in.
And just
I think
focused
that's
on Anakin.
I think that's why it's so frustrating too, is because you have these scenes with Padme and Mon Mothma forming the rebellion, and in Return of the Jedi you see Mon Mothma leading the rebellion, mm-hmm. which was very, you know, progressive at that time. Mm-hmm. And then we have this happen that's completely opposite.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when they first released the picture of Mon Mothma, the younger one, and I went, oh, yes, this is going to be all political intrigue. And then it was.
I bought her action figure.
What it was.
And she had nothing.
You were trying to say something. I mean, she was actually working on fixing the Millennium Falcon during their first kiss, and I don't know. Maybe it's because I fly a multi-crewed aircraft, so when everybody has their role in their place, and not everybody can be in the limelight. Empire Strikes Back is my most favorite film of all time, and I never felt like Leia was taking a backseat. But that might just be my personal feeling.
Also, in order for a character to be well-rounded and to be a strong female character, even though I hate that term, she doesn't have to be the one going out and fighting all the time. That was my biggest problem with a certain comic book series that I won't dive into right now, is that they tried to turn Leia into this amazing pilot who goes out and does all the action. And I'm not saying she can't kick butt, because that girl can kick some butt. I mean,
flight school takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Try throwing space into it. Especially with the weird, crazy, not real physics they use in Star Wars.
There we go. But just like, you don't always have to be the one going off. I mean, she has a defined role as being the leader, and there's some strategy involved in that. So,
and she's very human. She was very, I felt in Empire Strikes Back, she was very human. You saw her not in her princess role, not in her leading the rebellion role. You saw her in I'm here, I'm stuck with this guy that I've got feelings for, and we're trying to make our escape. Oh my gosh, Darth Vader's showing up. Who's this, you know, guy who's supposedly going to help us out? Blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah,
she's very human.
And that contributes to making her a well-rounded character instead of the token, let's put a lady character here and make her kick butt, and that's the end. It makes Leia who she is an interesting character.
And plus, in Empire Strikes Back, I mean, that's when, you know, we find out that she is, if Luke fails, that there is one more hope, and it's Leia. There is one other, right?
I don't think we find out that it's specifically Leia till Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
But we do, it's clear she's important.
And she has that sense, she knows where Luke is, you know, she's feeling the Force in that movie, so...
So I think we've hit on the films a lot. We touched on the Clone Wars a little bit. One of the questions on here is, how have female characters been portrayed in the expanded universe? And I actually think I almost want to kind of avoid this question. Or I'm going to time limit it, because I feel like if we jump down this rabbit hole, it will take up the rest of the panel.
Okay, valid.
Because let's face it, with the expanded universe, you have so many authors. And you have authors who were misogynists. You have authors who just couldn't write their way out of a paper bag. You had fantastic authors who wrote amazing, well-rounded characters that then those characters were taken by other authors and they just took a dump all over that character. So it's really, you see, you run the whole gamut in the expanded universe of really, really amazing female characters and really poopy ones.
It did do a very good job of bringing a heck of a lot of female characters to the forefront, though. I mean, a lot of them, there weren't a ton of books that you had the female character headlining, unfortunately. But we did get, I mean, half of us named expanded universe characters when we went down this line. I think
all of us but one.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Good point. Never mind. But I mean, like, we all name expanded universe characters except for Leia, and I think that's very telling that that's how much.
And that no one named Padme is pretty telling, too.
I love Padme, but.
I think you have to differentiate between first movie Padme and later Padme.
So, yeah. I mean, does anybody want to say anything about the expanded universe? Yes, sir.
Yeah, while BioWare isn't perfect as far as their writing goes, diversity is something to their writing crews that are really important, which is why those games are a very good, it's a good place to point to say, okay, here's where diversity works in Star Wars, and here's why we need more of it.
And I think,
yeah.
So I just want to take a key phrase that you said. You said we don't have as big a problem. It's a great thing that I saw on, it's not John Stewart. Basically,
John Oliver,
if you come and take a dump on my desk, I'm really not going to care if it's just a little dump or if it's a really big dump. You still took a dump on my desk. It is, but Bria's looking up statistics right now.
I did it. Yeah, I did a post on this.
But
the problem is
problem.
That there's a lot of the characters we all named are all great characters, but Bria mentioned it. They're not leading their own books.
We try to find a book with a woman on the cover that isn't Princess Leia
and didn't die in the book. Not that I'm still bitter.
Okay.
The book coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the numbers include like diversity as far as humans and aliens, but about 2.5 years ago, I did a reread of the Expanded Universe. It was the Warrior Express, and I do not recommend it.
Oh my gosh.
The Crystal Star and I did not get along well. But
it was
a
glorious time for page hits on the blog, I gotta tell you.
Anyway,
stats.
But I read 130 books. Out of those, only 15 of the books had a leading character who was not a straight white male, unless you're counting like the Skywalker men and like the Skywalker woman. Five of those books were Republic/Imperial Commando novels that were featuring clones as their main characters along Etain. And I was even including books like The Cessus Deception and Approaching Storm, which are co-led by aliens and a straight white male. So that's 15 out of 130, which is 12%. One of the few books that I can think of that is completely and utterly headlined by a woman was Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void, which came out last May, which was fantastic, by the way. But it's just very far and few in between. And while, yes, we get to see more women with talking parts who aren't just background, we don't get to see their stories. We see them more as accessories to the men's plot lines.
And I do have to fix myself. There are a couple books, maybe one or two, that have Mara Jade on the cover.
There's Sacrifice and Choices of Wine.
Yeah. And you know what? Thank you, Timothy Zahn, for writing such an amazing, badass character, fully fleshed out Mara Jade.
Yes, and in half of those books, she got fridged.
But he didn't write them.
No,
that
I didn't write it.
He always wrote her wonderfully. What I'm saying is that there are other authors who can go and take a dump on what another author did, which
and
is unfortunate.
Going back, I know this is going back to the films, but I forgot to mention it before, and Bria reminded me when she was talking about statistics, when the stuff about the casting announcements was going on and people were saying, oh, be patient. I went through and I counted the women who talk in all six of the movies. And in there's two in all of the original trilogy. In Phantom Menace, you get up to like 10 or something, and then you have a lot less in Attack of the Clones. In Revenge of the Sith, you have one woman who talks in the entire movie, and she dies. And that's a huge problem.
So it's not a little problem. It's a huge problem. All right. So we've talked about the expanded universe, and I'm going to move on unless anybody's very passionately wanting to say something right now. Okay. It's still an expanded universe topic, but now that the expanded universe is Legends, how do you think this is going to affect the overall portrayal of female characters in the Star Wars universe? And I am going to jump on this one first. So when they announced that it was going Legends and they were going to re-kick off everything and they announced all the authors, and I was like, hey, that's awesome. Wait a second, Del Rey, they're all dudes, and they're all white dudes. What gives? You know, we buy Star Wars books too. We'd like to see some representation as well. And they immediately came back with, oh, no, 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 you know, this isn't our full lineup, you know. And they did just announce another book for Christy Golden. But again, we don't just need tokens in there. And one of the things, though, I will say, there was a lot of people who were upset about this going to Legends. And I was kind of like, yes, because I can pick and choose the stories I want. And they'll always be there for me. But this is kind of like a, okay, let's start over, guys. Please, and let's maybe do a little better this time.
I just think the main problem that I have is just that all of these characters that we mentioned are now
but they can still be used, and
yes,
they can still be brought in.
They're not until someone uses them, and I'm really hoping that they, I know Bria was also hoping that they bring in Winter into the new Leia comics. You know, have a opportunity to create a bunch of new female characters. I haven't read the book yet, but I know that there's a few in A New Dawn. So they have a chance to start out on the right foot, but I'm just hoping that all of these characters that we've grown to know and love are still used, because they did populate the universe with a lot more women, which was needed. Yeah. And it would be really sad to lose that.
Right now, the Prime Universe has gone back to being just as predominantly male as it was when we just had the films.
I will give John Jackson Miller credit, though, for A New Dawn. The main cast is evenly split half and half between male and female, and then for human versus alien. So. I will give him a lot of credit for that, because he could have easily just been like, I'm just going to write the book about Kanan.
No,
instead,
John Jackson Miller is very, very sensitive to diversity, and he's a good dude.
Yeah, if you've read Kenobi, it has a very awesome female character who doesn't go out and kick butt, but she's still amazing.
Fantastic.
Annalene.
Right. Yeah. Again, a woman doesn't have to kick butt to be an awesome character.
There are other ways you can kick butt. There are lots of ways you can kick butt. I mean, we were talking about Padme. I mean, I think it's great that she goes out there and she fights, but you know, whatever. We had that with Leia. I was really more interested in seeing her do her leading and her political stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great that she can do that. I'm not dogging that and saying that they shouldn't have had her do that, but I was pissed when all those, you know, great scenes that she had as a senator got cut, because there are so many different ways.
Yeah, she has.
Kick ass.
She has one of the best lines in Revenge of the Sith, and I wanted more of that. You know, this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause. Everyone loves that line, and I wanted much more of that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to kind of go off script here then, because we keep talking about diversity, blah, 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 blah. I guess my next question is, and this goes to everybody, we talked about John Jackson Miller being very sensitive to diversity and making sure that he had a diverse cast. Why is that important? Why? Why are we upset?
Well,
we should just care about the movie, right? It's a good movie. It's a good story. Why do you care? Calm down.
We talk about diversity just so the underrepresented have something that they can
they can identify with in these books, but there's another purpose for this. It's so that the majority can start identifying with the underrepresented. They need to see that women can be heroes, that women can be fully fleshed out characters, that minorities can do the same thing, that it doesn't have to be a straight white male who saves the day, who has the fleshed out character. It can be anyone.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And also,
these are hand.
Go.
Also, because it's more realistic.
Yeah. Yes.
Because
yes.
The world is full of all types of people, and if you write a book that is all men fighting, that's not realistic.
It reminds me. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was, you know, this question about diversity. I was trying to quote this in another panel I was on earlier today, and I'm just going to paraphrase again, but. It's from Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey, and the protagonist of that book is a young woman named Catherine, and she's talking with her new friends about books, and they ask if she ever reads history, and she says, I never read it because there are no women, and it's all a bunch of wars, and the men are not good for much of anything. And that's the picture of the world that we give when we don't include, you know, everyone.
Lucy, you had something you were going to say?
Yeah, and I want to follow up. That's a great point. When I was upset about the casting announcements and having a discussion about episode 7 and the lack of women and all of the things and diversity, it was about, I'm like, if I was a kid, you know, and especially in this day and age, like looking at a movie like this, I would say, wow, ladies can't be heroes. And sure, mm-hmm. I could pretend to be Han Solo and or Luke Skywalker, but it's nice to look up and see, like, yes, like, this, let's send this message to our children that everybody can have a starring role and everybody can be a hero or a villain or just be included.
So the Blue Angels just selected their first female pilot, and she's a C-130 pilot, and she's actually one of my Marines. She just left this week to go fly for them. And that's great, and that's amazing. And one of the things she and I were talking about is because she's getting a lot of media attention, and it's overwhelming her. And I had to explain to her, no, this is important because little girls are going to see you now and go, oh, I could be a pilot if I wanted to. And maybe they will, maybe they won't, but it may never, because they had never seen someone who looked like them in that role. And I bring this up because I remember 12 years ago when I was at an air show and I was standing out in front of my C-130 and a bunch of little girls ran up to me and all wanted me to sign their Blue Angels poster. And I was like, oh, I'm not on the Blue Angels. And my captain at the time was like, shut up and sign it, Atis. And I was like, yes, yeah, you go. And, you know, at the time I was like, this is so dumb. And it just didn't dawn on me that these little girls, you know, they just saw me in a flight suit by a big giant airplane. And that was enough for them. That was all that they needed. And the representation is so important because you don't realize how much you need to see somebody who looks like you to make you think, maybe I can make this work.
Yeah, especially when you're like a kid and you don't have, you know, now I can wrap my head around it, but.
Yeah, my little nieces are running around in flight suits every day now and it just makes me so happy. I don't care if they ever become pilots, but the fact that, like, they're playing, they'll put tutus on with them too. Like, they'll be princess pilots and it's great. It's awesome.
That's what got me so excited about Rebels when we saw, I'm going to hopefully not mess it up because I've been screwing up the Clone Wars Rebels names all day, Sabine.
Yes.
Why did they name him Satine and Sabine? That's horrible. But then we saw Sabine because little tiny Bria would have loved to see a female Mandalorian running around who looked Asian. Like, that's incredible that we now have a main female character who looks Asian. You don't really realize it up until you, like Janine said, until you kind of get hit in the face with it.
You mean a female Asian character that isn't some sort of sex object in the film?
Yes. Yes. And like when it extends, well, it sort of extends to now, like in the Rebel Legion or the 501st, it'd be great for women to have more characters they can go and dress up as who are named besides Leia or Padme, I mean, or Ahsoka now.
You can only at official events have one named character, so
Yeah, or else you're just, you know, generic Rebel Trooper number 5, which people do, and I have no problem with it. But when they do the charity events, the kids, it's great for them to see all these different characters who they can look up to.
And you know, the Sabine thing was also sort of an interesting case study on the sort of ingrained and assumed gender and race roles in society. Matt Martin over at Lucasfilm went to Twitter after her picture was put out as part of the Rebels cast and said, I don't know, to the effect he said, I don't know what it says that so many people assume that Sabine is an alien.
Because we got burned so many times before. Like, I'm still annoyed that Addie Galea is an alien.
Yeah.
There was no need for that to happen at all.
Yes, ma'am. That's great.
Exactly.
Great.
I mean, this is the galaxy far, far away. We're not bound in this galaxy by the same ingrained gender and race roles that we see here. Not that we should be bound by them here, but it's really not relevant there.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, science fiction should open us up to possibilities.
Yep, exactly.
And I would actually hear a snide remark from black kids my age say that they're white folks. And it would stay a little bit because Luke Skywalker was my hero. And one of the reasons he was my hero is I knew that he didn't care if Lando was brown or green or any of that because they knew that it was better than that. So even with the dark side, it was far better than that.
I think that speaks volumes.
Well, just my one problem is that, like, all the women of color that we saw, for the most part, on the Jedi Council, and we did get a decent number over the prequel trilogy, and I really appreciate they were at least cast, but a lot of them were saying, okay, well, like, Luminar Unduli and Barriss Offee, aliens, not humans. So it was kind of like, I totally respect what you're saying right there, and it makes plenty of sense, but at the same time, they could have been human, at least one of them, maybe.
And I've heard, similarly, a lot of girls who have been kind of put down for liking Star Wars, other girls or other kids saying, no, that's boys' stuff. Star Wars is for boys.
This belt that I love, that I wear all the time, I bought in the little boys' section because you would never find something like this in the ladies' or girls' section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know who else says Star Wars is for boys? Marketers.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. You had one quick comment. That's my next section.
Depth of diversity, and it goes back to what you were saying about your friend in the blue
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Where she said every time they handed down a decision, the media would always come to her and go, and let's get a woman's opinion.
Right.
But as soon as that second one got on there, suddenly it just became standard that, you know, women are part of this too.
Yeah. I wanted to comment based on what he said about how Luke Skywalker was your hero. Luke Skywalker is my hero too, and which is why it really frustrates me when people assume that boys or men can't relate to female characters.
Right. Yeah.
Because
we can
why,
relate to theirs.
Why? Yeah,
I've been forced to.
Yeah. I love Luke more than any other character in Star Wars, and I don't see why a boy couldn't grow up to love Princess Leia or that type of character.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll do these last two comments and then we're going to move on. So. And you had something you wanted to say? No? All right. Okay, so obviously we all have a lot of feelings about diversity. I think we've talked about why it's important. So let's move on to the mark. Hey, actually, really quick, how much time do we need to leave you guys for handing stuff out at the end?
No, we don't. We'll do it after we're done.
Okay,
so
great.
We can go straight up.
All the way to the end. Great. Marketing snafus of 2014. The Rebels character announcement, Episode 7 casting announcement, lack of Sabine and Hera Rebels merchandise. We can also talk about lack of Gamora merchandise since we're talking about Disney.
No.
We can just talk about the lack of merchandise for women, for ladies, for girls. And what about guys who maybe want a shirt with Princess Leia on it? I mean, come on.
With all of these marketing snafus, have you ever noticed there's almost a script it follows? Product release, thing announced, lack of diversity, lack of women, lack of minorities. The blogosphere blows up about it. We're then told to shut up and be patient.
Calm down.
Yeah, calm down. It's coming. And let's see. The marketers or Lucasfilm or Disney, whoever, immediately backpedals and says, oh, no, wait. It's coming. We promise. And we've done this how many times just in the last year?
I think it's pretty reprehensible that they think that a guy wouldn't want something with, you know, to do with a lady or that, and vice versa. Because, I mean, I think we all still do it. We all, thankfully, I know that I'm skinny enough. I can go run into the boys section at Target and buy the little boys shirts, the Avengers shirts, you know, that don't have Black Widow on it because, heaven forbid, a little boy like Black Widow. But, you know, one of my good friends, Rogue, loves Black Widow, and he was running as her this morning at the Geek Girls Run Fun Run. He cosplays as Black Widower. My husband loves Captain Marvel. He's wearing a Captain Marvel costume tonight for the Carol Corps meetup. I mean, there is nothing out there that I think it speaks volumes that these guys are looking at these women and going, these are strong women who I look up to and I want to be like them, and vice versa. So why are we not cross-marketing?
And if anyone's at the Rebels panel earlier, we went down the line and we said what we were most excited about for Rebels. With the exception of me, everyone on the panel said Sabine. Like, and I'm including four guys with us, and everyone said Sabine. And yet, for some reason, every time we go and see a new Rebels product, we get Chopper, we get Ezra, we get Kanan, and we get Zeb. And somehow they couldn't find a way to take off random Stormtrooper number 57 and put on Sabine or Hera.
Boys buy toys and girls don't.
Oh, that's right, totally.
I just bought a set of Rebel socks at Target from the men's department, or not men, sorry, from the boys department. I had to get the largest size they would fit, and that was an example. They had they had Chopper, Ezra, Kanan, Zeb, and then for the fourth and sixth pairs, they use like the Rebels logo and the Phoenix. I'm like, why wouldn't you just make those Hera and Sabine, because they're everybody.
And Subway keeps selling out of all their Gamora bags. I think I saw this great Tumblr post where this woman said that she has to watch TV with feminism goggles on.
Yeah.
So that she can actually enjoy it and not be angry constantly.
Yeah. I actually think the creators nowadays are doing a much better job with including diversity. And, like, you know, John Jackson Miller is very good with this. I think Dave Filoni and team are...
Greg Weissman. Yeah. Great with it.
But... It's the people in charge, and I will preface this by saying I love Disney. I live 10 minutes from Walt Disney World gates. I have an annual pass. I go there all the time, but they stink when it comes to their gender disparity with boys and girls toys. They think that boys have to like this and girls have to like this, and that's not cool. I don't know how many times I've seen little boys running up to Queen Amidala or Asajj Ventress at Star Wars weekends, and they want their pictures. If you are a little kid collecting Rebels toys and you want to have a full ghost playset, how can you fly the ghost without the pilot of the ghost?
And I don't know how much I can say, but it is intentional. We heard some things from folks who were selling stuff at Star Wars weekends, and this was stuff Disney was mandating. They wanted these very, very defined pigeonholes for boys and girls.
Something that really frustrates me that places like Disney and Marvel and whoever like keep perpetuating these gender inequalities in the way they market toys is you're big companies. Like, you have money, you have brands, people are going to, you don't have to worry about losing money if you put out a Sabine toy, everybody's going to buy it. You're Disney, like, and if it costs you a little bit of money, you're Disney. Like,
can we talk
why
about,
why don't you be the change you want to see in the world?
We have a couple of people who are wanting to say stuff too. So Robin Sparkles.
I will
come there next.
Are Robin Sparkles.
That is awesome.
Can we go to the mall?
Let's go to the mall.
And that's kind of where we're at, because I mean, Nancy, I know like you post about frustration when mothers are like, oh no, there's no boys.
There's a message board called the Disboards. It's all about Disney World. And there are people who are like, what can my little boy do at the Magic Kingdom? Everything? Why can't you go meet a princess? Like, they think it's gonna, you know, make them, I don't know, turn into...
Oh, no, they might become gay?
I know, because a boy wants to see girls. That's terrible. Like, I don't understand.
Oh, wait. The they might be completely time. Hetero because they want to see girls? I don't understand what's going on here.
Children!
Or wait, maybe they're just kids. and like, aren't thinking sexual things yet. Yeah. I don't know.
I have a friend whose son had an Olaf and a Sven shirt on at school, and they were making fun of him and said, Frozen's for girls. And I'm like, A, he's wearing a boy's shirt. B, no, it's not. You can't have a movie make that much money if not everyone goes to see it.
And how has everybody seen the video of the awesome Marines freaking out watching the movie?
Yes.
So thank you. And I also want to point out that my daughter just started cheerleading, really wanted to do it, started asking me about it. And I was like, whoa, just stop. I don't know anything about cheerleading. Go talk to your dad. He was one. And so my husband, like, you know, hey, yeah, let's go. Signed her up. Walked in there. There was another boy in there. Yeah, I was a cheerleader, too. And, you know, he's a big bad
and
Marine.
And as far as girls buying toys, we have a bookshelf with action figures, and they were all purchased by me.
I own none of them.
Yeah, they're all mine, too. Okay, we had some very animated people here. No? Yes? And I love it.
I love that.
And we want to spend it.
Yeah. They sell. And we will. They sell out at Disney at Star Wars weekends. They had nothing.
And they sold
by
out
the
at Comic Con. The Black Widow hoodies went in like a day. Yeah. I think we're having a little bit of a problem in that some of the marketers go, well, there's something there. Okay, 5 minutes, shoot. There's something there. Why do we need to make more? So we're going to try to go quick here. Back there. And I'm going to try to hit people who haven't talked yet. Can you speak up just a little bit? I heard self-fulfilling prophecy. I think one of the ways you do it is support it where you can. I know we were at Target the other day, and I saw a Superman shirt in the ladies section that was not pink, it was not purple, it was a legit blue ladies cut shirt with the Superman logo on it, and that is it. And I about went ape. I was like taking pictures of it, going, oh my gosh, this is amazing, it exists. So, you know, support it where you can. And keep talking about it, because I firmly believe the reason Gwendolyn and Chrissy got cast is because we all went bananas online. And so I don't care who tells us to shut up or calm down. We have a voice, and we need to talk about what we think and what we feel. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Gray A New Hope t-shirts in the ladies section, in the junior section. They're good looking. Go buy them. All right, we have time for probably, okay, I'll do, okay, quick, guys.
Okay, first, dealing with Frozen, I have a 2.5-year-old son, and he doesn't even know Kristoff's name, and I took him to buy a notebook for him to draw in, and he went straight to Elsa, and it's pink and purple. It's his sister's forever.
Aww. Yay.
It's a self-licking ice cream cone.
Data is only as good.
It was Gene Car. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Lovely. Yeah. Lovely. Yes, sir.
Well,
her universe.
Which is what we're doing. We're showing it with our dollars. And that's why we just said, go buy that Star Wars shirt at Target right now and show, hey, if you start marketing boy stuff in the girls section, we will buy it.
And, you know, the free market works so long as that there aren't artificial roadblocks.
Because right now there are a ton of artificial roadblocks. And that's the whole point of this entire panel.
Things like
I would really be interested to see the statistics from sites like T-Fury and Shirtwoot and see how many ladies' shirts versus guys' shirts they sell.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the few places where you can get all these crazy geeky shirts in the size you want.
Just to make a quick comment, jumping off what she said, I think it's one of the reasons diversity is important is because I think a lot of times what is girly and traditionally girly and feminine is seen as negative. Yeah. I know I was the same way. I didn't want to be girly. I didn't want to be like all the other girls. And why is that a bad thing? Yeah. You know, now I'm older and I'm like, yes, I like wearing dresses. I like wearing hair bows. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's just what I like. And if a girl doesn't like doing that, that's fine too. If a boy likes wearing a hair bow too, that's also fine. Yeah. So.
All right. We've got, I think that's the end of the panel. So I first of all want to thank everybody for coming and for having this dialogue. And I would really, really encourage all of you to get out there and to keep talking. And when douchebags try to keep you down, because they're gonna, just ignore them. And you just keep spreading the message and keep educating everybody around you. Okay?
Take them down.
All right. Take them down. And thank you for coming. Woo!